Hello and welcome to Focus on Licking County on Buckeye Country 107.7. I'm News Director Dave Doney, joined today by my broadcast partner Joel Riley and our special guests Jill Medley and Matt McHenry with Learning for Life Farm. All right, talking about Learning for Life Farm, Jill, maybe explain to everybody how this got started, your background, and what you saw was a need in this community and how this got get off the ground.
Okay, yeah, I started out in special education many years ago, teaching mostly preschoolers, and then kind of went from there into opening a program that developed into being a group of charter schools here in Central Ohio between Columbus and we have one in Columbus, one in Johnstown, and one in Canal Winchester. Okay. And I retired from that a couple years ago, and in the meantime had started this nonprofit that was looking at taking kids, transition age kiddos, which means usually kids 13, 14 on up, and giving them a place to go to learn job skills. So things, soft skills, social skills, anything that was not necessarily education related, but that would transfer then into the community. I was seeing kids that were graduating from high school with really, really nice skills mm-hmm. that, you know, down the road, I would run into them a couple years later and they had just stayed at home. Hmm. So a lot of what we've done is try to provide an option, an opportunity for them to gain skills that would transfer into the work environment and work with their parents too, mm-hmm. you know, kind of to educate them.
Special ed, obviously it's in your heart. What drew you to that? I mean, was there, you know, we talking to Matt earlier. I mean, usually it's when you have somebody you know, a family member or something like that. What was it about special ed that you said, I want to work in this area?
Hmm. That's a good question. I think it was more just my personality. I actually had a regular ed degree, and then I went out into the field and got into early intervention and started working with young kids, particularly with behavioral needs. And it was a challenge to me to kind of meet them head on and see how I could help them, you know, adapt more into their classrooms. So I think it was just my personality that took me back to school. And then I got a master's degree in special ed and particularly started working with kids with neurodevelopmental mm-hmm. Issues such as autism and ADD and ODD and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Matt, what about you? How did you get kind of involved in all this? Because it's not a lot of times folks like, hey, I'm going to jump into this particular sure. program. What was it about it that drew you to it?
Well, I had the fortunate opportunity to work alongside of Jill and in her expansion of her school program. And so just having the ability to see what they were doing, to talk with them and to see how much care they put into the programming they were developing. And really the environment that they created was pretty special at their school. So my son is on the spectrum. So when Jill approached me about participating on the board, first of all, I didn't know anything about being on a board and I didn't know how I could help them. But, you know, I think just the opportunity to participate in something that was both near and dear to my heart, but also I saw as a need in the community was an excellent opportunity. And I jumped at it and, you know, I've learned a lot, probably learned way more from them than I've been able to provide as far as help. But I'll tell you, just being able to make a difference, I think, was the biggest thing. Like, we all have a certain amount of time in the day. We can either put it towards our priorities, work, you know, hobbies, whatever. But for me, it was an opportunity to say, you know, I'm going to make a difference, not only for my son, but for this community. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of why I got involved. I wanted to feel like I was participating.
And now he's the president of the board. He's modest, too.
Well, I'm going to bring that up. But since
he's done a lot for our program.
Talk about it from a parent's, you know, perspective. Like Jill said, I mean, if she noticed that there was kids who were going on in life and weren't finding, were you worried about that? Were you finding the same things?
Well, when you have a child who's on the spectrum, you kind of do have a tendency to look out and say, you know, what does the future hold for them? And for me, I think the biggest thing was seeing that in school they had such structure, and I was so impressed with the programs at different school districts that we participated in. there's great structure around how to offer these kids support wherever they're at and make sure that they have a positive experience in a mainstream environment in school. And that's great. And that those plans follow them through school. However, once you get to where what Jill was mentioning, the age of transition age kids, there's really not the same structure. So now they're done with school, they're moved out into the world, and they just don't have that assistance, that support anymore. And I think that without building up certain skill sets, that can be a real draw, a drag for them, mm-hmm. in trying to operate independently in the workforce or just in the world in general. Yeah. So I was extremely drawn to the fact that we're going to try to address an issue that we see. You know, 85% or roughly of kids on the spectrum are not gainfully employed once they're adults. So that's a huge issue. I mean, not only for them, but for us as a society to mm-hmm. make sure we include everybody. So that was what drew me was, man, look at the impact we can have and the issue that is out there that needs to be addressed. And so anything we can do to make progress on that, I think, is positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're a business owner.
Yes.
So you're looking for folks to hire, correct? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
I can't imagine you're like everybody else who's kind of struggling to find people. I mean, there are skill sets that you're looking for.
Yeah. And what the interesting thing is when I thought about job skills, I'm like, oh, they need to learn how to make this or use this tool or do that. That's not really some of the more key skills that we're seeing or we're focusing on. They need to be able to work in a group. They need to be able to take constructive criticism and not have it as something that derails their whole day. They just need to, these are the things that me and you take for granted when we're working in groups, that a lot of these kids, they just don't have that same ability to recognize that and to operate inside that environment. So for me, that's one of the key things is these skills. I thought it was certain types. These are just basic social. How do you operate within a group and not become distracted or not become discouraged?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and a lot of employers these days, they're looking for good people because the skills, once you're in the work environment, they can kind of teach you the skills that you need. So you just got to be, you know, good citizen, good person, good whatever with basic.
Teachable.
Teachable. And you said soft skills.
Yes. That's what he's kind of talking about is the soft skills that are a little different than, you know, most of the students and children that we work with. On the spectrum, and it's called the spectrum for a reason. So there's a big range of skill sets within that. But many of them are extremely capable within the classroom once they get used to their teachers, their school, their routine. I mean, they've got a lot of skills, but you take them out of that routine and they're really difficult generalizing those skills into a different environment. So that was what we kind of wanted to do, was give them this opportunity to not only work out in the gardens, but tend to animals, and then be in the, we have a workshop, you know, and be in there, and then be out in the fields, and we have some beehives, and, you know, be able to make honey. We've done that with them. So it's given them all, and also then interact with people at the events that we put on. So it's given them a lot of opportunities to practice these skills in different environments, and then kind of gauge where that they want to go with those skills, you know?
Yeah, I imagine the farm might throw a curveball or two. I mean, animals can be unpredictable at times.
Yes, they can be unpredictable. And so many of our kids just actually, I mean, all kids, talking every kid doesn't get outside enough these days. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got kids on screens, we've got kids on computers, you know, and not that that's always a bad thing, but we had a new group come out last week, and Amanda, our teacher there, said these are city kids. They didn't know what to do. She said they walked in the barn holding their nose, and
they don't know the business end versus the on business end, right?
So she's like, I love that challenge of getting them out. And she said by the end they were all helping out with the animals, and you know, so it's giving kids a different environment to practice some of the skills that they're learning in the classroom.
Jill, you've got a really cool event that's going to be taking place rather quickly, as a matter of fact. Maybe explain to everybody what's going to be taking place.
Yeah, so if anybody's familiar with what we've done in the last few years, we had We've done for, I would say, probably the last 5 years, what we called an alpaca trot, where we did a fundraising, you know, event for the farm, and there was a walk involved and things, you know, I don't know, I can't remember how long it was, but a mile walk, you know. Yeah. And we kind of decided to shift a little bit this year. We also do an event in the spring, and it's called the Alpaca Hop, where we do a free Easter egg hunt for the community. And we were really, really impressed with the turnout that we got, bringing people to the farm. And we decided to kind of turn this into another free community event. So it's a family fall festival. It's going to be on September 28th, which is coming up, 12 to 4. And we have all kinds of people from the community coming in. We've got live music. We've got inflatables. We're going to do face painting, games, animal interactions. We've got Highland cows coming to visit. So, and then people have the opportunity to do like a kind of a storybook trail around the farm. Mm-hmm. People can, you know, scan the QR codes and see some short videos or learning opportunities. We're going to do some sensory friendly tasting and touching and smelling events. We're going to have some, you can taste some honey, you can touch the alpaca yarn, you know, different things to explore the senses. And then we do have a soft kind of safe space where kids can go inside if it's too much. Calm down a little bit. We're going to have Bill Foley will be there providing live music. Okay. And we're going to have a watermelon eating contest. So
what are you laughing about? Hey, look at him. He like, don't tell me you put cheese on it.
Have you ever seen a watermelon eating? They are hilarious. I mean, it's worth contest. It just to watch.
How do you come up with a watermelon eating contest?
I really have no idea. That wasn't my idea.
Seedless or seeded?
I think we should do seeded. Yeah, that makes it more interesting.
That makes
interesting.
It more fun.
Then
yeah.
You can have the resulting seed spitting contest. Go for distance.
Yes.
How did you end up with alpacas?
You know, that is a funny story. So I actually went to an alpaca farm in Virginia with my family one time, and I don't remember how we ended up there. And it was really cool. Now, their alpacas, I will say, are a little better trained than ours, but we're getting there. Yeah. But because you could just get, like, the kids, my kids were young at the time, and you could get, you know, hold hands and be around the alpacas in groups and do some different things with them. They're also pretty calm. They are pretty calm animals. And their poop doesn't smell quite mm-hmm. as strong as other animals. So at the time, thinking from a sensory perspective, I was like, this would be a really great environment, this farm I was on, for kids on the autism spectrum.
Better than pigs and chickens.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Put it that way.
It is very, I mean, it's pretty mild smell compared to other animals. So, and I know our kids are very sensitive to that. So I said, you know what, we should do this, and here we are. Mm-hmm. Somehow we figured it out and have done it.
It's amazing, I mean, that you put that much thought into it. You know, again, when you work with kids that are on the spectrum, but I mean, like, just this year has been, it was so wet early mm-hmm. and then so dry.
Yes.
I mean, you know, even if you just think about that, just how to handle life's curveballs. I
yes.
mean, things that can be so different from one season to the next. And again, those skill sets really pay dividends down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And that's why, I mean, we have a couple of fundraising events each year. Jill mentioned the Alpaca Hop, and now we have our Family Fall Fest. And it's just so important for us to have people come out, because we need help sponsoring groups to get out to the farm. You know, being in a nonprofit, you are handling curveballs left and right nonstop. There is no guarantee that, you know, you will be there next year. You have to really work hard to drum up the support and make sure people know what you're doing. And once you get that in front of people, they really do see the value there. And so I'm just excited to have as many people as we can get out there. Check out the farm. We'll have a farm store where you can see some of the things that the kids produce on the farm. It's fantastic. I love going just to see what we're working on that day, that week, whatever the season is. It's always something new. So, yeah, that's the important thing, getting everybody, as many people as we can out there, to take a look at what we're doing and just see if there's any connection that they can make in their networks to help further our cause.
You've been listening to Focus on Licking County on Buckeye Country 107.7. I'm News Director Dave Doney. I'd like to thank my broadcast partner, Joel Riley, and our special guests today, Jill Medley and Matt McHenry with Learning for Life Farm. And as always, I'd like to thank you for listening. Have a great day.